Oh man, be one of them nights.
Yeah, maybe. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 154 for Thursday, the 21st of December, 2017. This is a show where two lifelong friends celebrate all things geek. We do not have a guest tonight because they're all busy. They like have plans and family and people that give a shit about them and stuff. How you doing, man?
Man, we don't have a guest, but the news of the night is that Amos and I are in the same place at the same time.
Well,
it's been a while, man.
The same virtual place.
Well, I mean, take what you can get.
That's what got Kevin Spacey in trouble.
Too soon?
I don't know.
It'll always be too soon.
Hey, man. So, how you did a show by yourself last week? It wasn't bad.
Thanks.
I could smack the shit out of you for some of the audio problems, but apparently those were the least of the problems on that show.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I had some issues. I had audio playback that I had to find in the middle of the show that I had to edit out. There was all kinds of stuff going on. But the real problem that I had came with the post-production when I was trying to publish. The software that I use, I guess the latest update, like, fucked it all up, because I was able to edit it just fine, just like normal. But when I went to render the video, it decided that it wanted to sound like this. Like, what the hell? So I tried a few different formats. It didn't help. So I was like, all right, well, maybe I can at least get audio out of this edit. So I rendered the audio, and it came out sounded like this. I was like, what the fuck? So I had to use iMovie. For what I was doing, you know, it took a little bit longer, but it was fine. I got that done, but I was delayed a day in publishing. So then the next day I was like, all right, I'm ready to publish. Let me get all my files uploaded. Everything was doing fine until Archive just wanted to get 3/4 of the way through the upload and then say, oh, yeah, never mind. I'm not going to work. So I click the resume upload and it starts back at 0. Like, son of a bitch. So I come back like 30 minutes later to check on it. It was about 3/4 of the way uploaded and said, oh, no, I don't want it. So rinse and repeat about 8 times. It still didn't go. So that delayed me another day. And then the next morning before work, I got up and went and uploaded. I was able to upload it that morning. So I guess it was Tuesday morning when it finally got published.
So with Archive, an amazing service that they're providing. I'm not going to knock them for providing the service.
Absolutely.
But there are times, and this is something that I know from all the uploads that I've done from this show and others. If you start uploading and right away you start noticing that the numbers are not, it's not a steady beat of how many megabytes are going up. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
As soon as you notice that, you're in for it. You're in for it. You're done. It's gonna do something funny to you, and you're not gonna get your upload done.
Yeah.
But when it works great.
I'm not gonna...
Yeah.
That's true.
Sometimes it'll like, well, I've had it to where it'll upload the video but not the audio. Like, the audio file is way smaller than the video file. What are you doing to me right now?
Sure.
So good times had by all. I did listen to the episode, and yeah, it was how fun was it to hold the mic on your own for 40 plus minutes?
Man, it's fun. This is the second time I've done a solo show, and I enjoy it, but my mic technique suffers. Not just my actual mic technique, but like my vocal
throat
quality. I guess I don't know. Like, I've said probably a million times. Like, if I was Richard Gunther picky and went to edit out all of my I would still be editing it right now. It was bad.
Funny you should say though that, because he'll be on our show next week, and I'm sure he'll have listened to last week's episode before he comes on next week. So,
that should be fun.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, it was an inch. It's how do I say this? doing a show, sitting in front of a mic, in front of a camera, in front of a live audience, and I don't know how many people you had watching last week, but sitting in front of anybody and just talking for 30, 40, 50 minutes, it is nerve-wracking. And it's amazing how easy it is to talk to you right now on Skype, knowing people are watching and reading the chat room, things like that. But then as soon as you try to do that by yourself, it amps up the anxiety at least a magnitude. You know,
sure.
It's crazy. So I fully respect that. And I luckily, when I had to do the episode without you the previous week, I had Squid that I could fall back on. And he's always happy to come on the show and stuff like that. And luckily, that particular day, he got off early because of the fires and stuff like that. I guess not luckily, but...
Well, yeah.
As happenstance would be. But it worked out really well. And he's watched enough of the show, and him and I have enough of a flow that it just kind of flows through the show. But you kind of found out the day before, like, hey, dude, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Sorry.
Yeah.
And you made the best of it.
Squid wasn't available anyway, because right before our show began, the theater was going dark for him to start watching Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't blame him for that. Skip R&P for Star Wars.
Yeah. 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 I had my own thoughts about that, but
I ended up watching Star Wars, The Last Jedi on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, and listening to you recount how well your local theater handles pre-purchased tickets.
Yeah.
That thought process, like all of that, because we've already discussed this several times, that was actually in my mind as I was in line to buy my ticket. I left here. I had to go for an appointment last week for my back. So the idea was to leave here about 10 o'clock, get to the theater about 10:45 down in North Anchorage, the good theater, not my local one here that didn't have a show in time for me to make my appointment. Get my ticket, grab maybe some popcorn and a drink because I know it's a 2.5-hour movie, and find a decent seat. Didn't expect to get like perfect seat, you know, the whole middle of the theater, perfect sound, great view. I didn't expect to get all that, but didn't really need all that. I left 15 minutes late, so I get there right at 11 o'clock. The weather was blistery cold, and the roads were icy, so I couldn't speed my way down. I actually went a little bit below the speed limit.
Yeah.
I get there. It's 11 o'clock on the dot. The show time is 11 o'clock, and I'm looking at my watch, my Apple Watch right here is telling me, hey, you've got a movie to watch right now. I didn't pre-purchase the tickets because I would have had to go through and reestablish all my Fandango and everything else. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up. There's not going to be anybody in line. I was almost right. I got in line. I was the third person in line. Three people. The individual in front of me was waiting for her tickets, and she was buying a ticket for a different show, so it didn't even matter. I wasn't about to say, hey, I'm buying it for this one right now. Can you excuse? I wasn't trying to be that jerk, right?
It's not like at an airport when your flight is boarding, when
right.
You know, you can speed through security sometimes,
right?
Because
the guy in front of her, though, that was actually at the window, he was buying gift cards. He was buying $100 worth of gift cards for three people, and wanted them to split it equally. And he couldn't do the math in his head, and the lady behind the glass couldn't explain with her words how that is not it doesn't math.
Somebody's gonna pay 1 cent more.
But they sat there and argued, like, do you want to? Because she couldn't just come out and say, well, that's gonna be $33.33333 repeating cents. That's not gonna work, dude. So she was trying to be like, well, do you want to put like 35, 35, and 30? Dude was like, no, I want to split equally. And at one point, I looked around, like, are there cameras? Is this, you know,
are you fucking with me right now?
Right. And I was joking with the lady in front of me. I thought we were on the same train. She goes up there. She's buying tickets, two tickets, one for her, one for her boyfriend / husband / significant other / random dude she ran into in the parking lot. She's paying by check.
Oh, what the fuck? Do places still accept checks?
Yes, she's paying by check, and then they asked her if she had a rewards card. She said, yes, but I don't have the card with me. Lady says, well, let me look it up. Can I get your phone number?
Oh,
she goes to three phone numbers before she finally says the right phone number to trigger it, And then, and this,
by this time you were already triggered.
Oh my God. It's like 8 after 11 by now. And I thought, okay, well, she got her thing. She's going to go and, you know, she gets a free popcorn or a free drink. She says, I'll take the free popcorn. The other guy says, oh, what was that? And he comes walking over, because I don't know if he was like, if he was just wandering off for no fucking reason or what, but he comes walking over. He's like, no, well, let's go and make that a popcorn instead. Eventually it comes out, well, she couldn't cancel the free popcorn because she'd already printed the ticket with it. So she gave him a free soda with it. So it is literally 11:15 by the time I get to the window. I said, I would like a ticket for the next showing of Star Wars. I didn't even say what time because I didn't want to get into an argument about, oh, the 11 o'clock one's already started, whatever else. Just whatever the next showing of Star Wars is that you can give me that ticket. She says, okay, that'll be one matinee for 11 o'clock. And I was like, that's great. I hand her a $10 bill. I'm paying cash. Like no need to wait for swipes or bullshits, nothing else. Here's $10 cash. It's the $8.75 ticket. I don't even care about the change. Here's this. Give me this little slip of paper that allows me to walk through the big fat dude inside. That's gonna, you know,
it's always a big fat dude.
I don't. Why is that? It's never. It's not bouncer.
What's the cause? What's the cause and what's the effect?
Yeah, it's not the corn fed dude. It's like blubber butt. You know, it's. And I'm not trying to fat shame at all. It's just that is clearly okay. And it's never a chick. It's always a dude. Anyway. So I hand her that, and she starts trying to upsell me on shit at the ticket booth. Do you want? Are you a rewards member? No. Would you like to become a rewards member? No. I would like to go see the movie. Would you like a free popcorn if you buy a soda ticket now? No. I would like to go see my movie. Like,
yeah, print. I would like you to print my ticket.
So she finally hands it to me, and I take it, and she goes, oh, sorry. And then she hands me the ticket afterwards. Like, she tore the receipt off, handed that to me, then tore the ticket and handed that to me. Okay, fine. So by now, it's like I said, it's probably 17 after, because it was literally 15 after when I walked up to the window. Because I looked at my watch specifically.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because sometimes the movie starts at the time that they say. Sometimes the previews start at the time they say. I might be missing like the first couple scenes of the movie at this point, but I don't care. Just get me in the fucking theater. I start walking up to Mr. Big Ass, and I'm expecting him to look at my ticket and compare it. Like, I'm at this point, I'm expecting not to see the movie until about 12:30, you know, because I'm obviously not getting popcorn or drink now. I'm not going through that charade. He takes it. He doesn't even look at what it is. I said, yeah, I'm just checking out Star Wars. He goes, here you go. He tears it and says 14. Doesn't look at my ticket at all. It could have been just a random piece of paper I found on the ground. Didn't matter at all. So then I go and I get into the theater. I get into the theater and they're still playing previews. There's still a decent seats off either side of center. So I say, screw it. I'm going to go to the bathroom, because the preview they were showing was, I don't know, some Disney shit that I definitely didn't want to watch.
Yeah.
Went to the bathroom, came back in, and still saw, okay, remember, this is like at 20, 25 after, still saw 3 more previews before the movie started.
Wow.
Good news is, I got to see the whole damn movie. Bad news is, why do you have 30 minutes of essentially commercials before the show starts?
Man, yeah, my showing, I think they played like maybe 4 trailers or something, and then we were on our way.
No, this is. I saw 4 trailers between the one that was playing when I left to go pee and the 3 that started after I sat down. I saw 4 trailers, and I didn't get into the theater until like 20 after.
Yeah. So I saw it on Friday night. I was going to wait until Saturday morning, like Saturday at 11, or maybe catch the 2 o'clock. Either way, Saturday. But then like Friday was happening. I was at work and I was like, No, there's no way I'm waiting. I have to see this freaking movie. It's bad enough that I didn't see it last night. I have not been on the internet in like 16 hours, and I'm kind of like twitching right now. I'm watching my notification badges just pile racking up. On my social media. Like, shit. Like, I can't do this any longer. So we booked tickets for like the 6:40, I think, that night. And yeah, man, I walked out of the theater, just like I couldn't even talk for like probably 10 or 15 minutes, just trying to process what I had seen.
Mm.
And then I went and saw it a couple days later in 3D. This is my first viewing was 2D. I was like, well, I got to see 3D. And
if I watch it again, I'm going to watch it in the 3D IMAX there at that same theater. Just because.
Oh, see, must be nice to have it. We have an IMAX.
I don't know. I've
town.
I've never seen a 3D IMAX movie. I've seen IMAX, you know, at, like the science centers and shit like that. But
oh, 3D IMAX is how movies should be watched always. Like it's amazing. But the IMAX theater in my town is attached to the Space Museum.
Right.
And yeah, they don't play Hollywood movies. They only play like science documentaries.
That's how it was when I was in Louisiana.
What a waste of an IMAX screen.
That's how it was when I was in Louisiana. And they had the full motion seats to where like in reality it only moved like a foot up, down, left or right. But while you're watching the movie and it feels like they're moving a massive amount, you know?
Yeah.
Because the full immersion. But yeah, the entire time I was in line, I was starting thinking, man, this is a top chain theater and I'm getting Kent service.
Oh no.
I was so pissed.
Service.
And then of course I go inside and they get the self-serve kiosks. Like why the hell didn't I just, I need to go to the movies more so I know where these things are, man. I could have just done that shit and been, I might've been able to get some popcorn. And then of course afterwards I had to leave directly to go get my wife and then head to my appointment for my back.
Oh my gosh.
So,
So that was the Star Wars viewing experience. We'll probably talk about actual content of the movie, maybe get into some spoilers in the post show.
Yeah.
You guys can be part of the pre-show and post show if you watch us every Thursday night on twitch.tv/ritual misery
at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yep.
Because it's not just like the entire night.
Well, I mean, not usually.
Hey, so I mentioned that I went to the doctor, and I don't know if you saw on the social medias, but I have a lump on my back.
Okay.
So this is essentially how it's happened. When they went in to do my back surgery, they had to cut into my back. They had to peel back some of the tissues away from the bone, like actually scrape muscle and tendon off the bone, which creates a little pocket area. They go in there and they carve out the areas that they need to carve so the nerves can actually travel through without catching on shit and causing pain. Then they basically just sew it all back up and let it sit there, and it eventually just heals itself back to the spot. Well, anytime you're messing with the spine, if you mess with it at all, even if you don't nick it or anything else, you can still experience these positional headaches. We all know I had, right? Because I explained that already. When I went into the ER for that, I got a lumbar puncture where they actually went through and did a spinal tap to see if I had like meningitis or some other infection in my spinal column. That puncture didn't heal right. That doctor did not do a very good job. Mm-hmm. So the spinal fluid starts leaking into that cavity where all the muscle and tissues have been peeled away from my back, creating a 4-inch tall bubble on my back.
Mm.
Well, I went in after that and my doctor was like, yeah, that should go down. Went back again. It was bigger. And now we're going to treat it a little more aggressively. Once you do this. Okay. Go back the third time. And I'm like, look, this got to go. This is not right. My wife is there with me. She's like, that's not good. Let's do something about it. They end up pulling about a half a cup of spinal fluid out of this bubble.
Oh,
put me on bed rest for the weekend with pressure on that spot the entire time. And hopefully that, you know, we release some of the pressure, it'll heal up. It's not leaking anymore. Maybe it's already healed or whatever else. No, it came back with a fury. So Tuesday I went in and got a blood patch.
Blood patch.
Yeah. A blood patch is where you go in, you lay down on a table. What do you call the people? The anesthesiologist goes in. One level above, because I had my surgery was L4, L5, L5, S1. So the spinal tap was at the L3, L4, you know, one spot above my surgery. The anesthesiologist had to go to L2, L3, because it's one spot above where the spinal tap was. So they put this needle into your back, into your spinal column, which feels fucking weird to begin with. Meanwhile,
I can't imagine.
Meanwhile, they draw blood, and he starts putting this blood into your spinal column because the idea is that the blood will coagulate and clog the hole. It's like when you put the shit in your tires and the green slime or whatever is supposed to clog the holes, right?
Now this was your own blood,
yes,
right?
Yes, my own blood.
They drew it from you and then put it back in.
They're drawing it by IV out of my left hand and immediately going and inserting it into my spine.
Okay, all right. This sounds like a Rube Goldberg machine.
This is what the doctor tells me. He tells me, the anesthesiologist, he's like, you'll know when I should stop because you'll get what some people call a sense of feeling full. Like, I just ate a little while ago. I'm kind of full now. Like, what are you talking about? You know? So he's like, I don't know how to explain it because I've never had it done. I'm saying, okay, well, that's not increasing my trust in you right now. But he's telling
like,
me
that's
this.
Like cops are not allowed to tase anyone until they've been tased.
Right. Like, you can't really, I mean, that it can't apply to everything in doctorisms because you can't like, well, you can't perform a lobotomy until you've had one done. Like, you don't want that, you know?
hopefully nobody's getting trained on that.
There are no male doctors that can perform hysterectomies because they've never had one done on them. Like things like that just don't work, right?
There's some merit in that probably.
But he's like, you'll get a sense of feeling full. And I was like, okay, so we're joking about it. He's got 10 cc's in. We're chit-chatting, you know, it still feels awkward, but at least when he's not pushing on the needle, I can't feel it at my back, you know, because that's the most awkward part, right? And I'm completely conscious. They gave a local anesthetic on the skin just so I didn't feel the big-ass needle going in. But other than that, it's just, there's wide awake. 20 cc's goes in. Okay. And we're still talking. We're still chit-chatting. And I'm getting kind of nervous because my anxiety of, you know, having something in my spine. I'm on a little bit of Valium. I did take some Valium. So my anxiety had a buffer zone, right?
Yeah.
But you know me, once I start getting freaked out about something, like it just... It's like those little fireworks that spin it up into the air. And so I'm starting to get anxious. 30 cc's has gone into my back. And the IV wasn't comfortable. It was in my hand. And usually an IV, it hurts when they stick it, but then you're fine. Well, this hurt when she stuck it, and it hurt while she like traveled down the vein. Like it was just an uncomfortable IV. Not a bad one. There's no bruising or anything, but it's just uncomfortable. Well... Finally, he's on the fourth little, because you're doing 10 cc's at a time, and he starts on the fourth one, because so I've got 30 cc's going back, and W. Scott's one says, what was that again? and all of a sudden, like, there's pressure in the back of my head, there's pressure all the way down to my tailbone, just pressure. I don't know how to explain it other than pressure, and I was like, oh, there it is! I know what they meant by full now.
man.
Yeah, that was awkward. That was really, this whole back surgery has been a comedy of near tragic.
Oh God.
Like nothing has gone necessarily wrong. It just hasn't gone as right as it should have.
Just unpleasantness.
Yes, exactly. It's been crazy. So that's gone. The bump on my back is actually soft. I don't know how long it's going to take for my body to actually reabsorb that spinal fluid, but it is softening. It is not this rock hard lump in the middle of my back. So hopefully that was effective. And we'll see. My headaches are pretty much gone. I get random headaches now instead of like every time I stand up or sit down. It's just I'll be sitting here and just be like, headache, and then it just kind of fades away. But it's still better than... I moved my head too fast and I got a migraine for 2 minutes. So that was my week.
Progress. Damn, man. Yeah. Best of luck.
Yeah. Hey, did you know we're going to start paying for TRICARE now? Active duty has to pay for TRICARE.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We got the flyer. My wife picked it up a couple days ago at the clinic.
Bullshit.
It's like $267 for an individual or $350 for a family annually. So it's still not bad, but.
Well, yeah, it's still cheap, but what the fuck?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is before the stupid tax bill passed.
Yeah. Hey, we're good till January now, at least on the government shutdown. They pushed back that decision till January.
I am so completely and utterly. We're going to go political here for a second.
All right, just for a second.
I cannot express in words, not just because of legalities, but just for lack of vocabulary. It's not in my lexicon to express how utterly disappointed with our government and their and the officials thereof that I currently am. I can't do it. It's just it saddens me to no end. My local representation, my national representation, my national representation on the world stage, just all of it is just disappointing. So there's my political speak for the night.
All right. I think that was 30 times the time that you were allotted.
And you know what? That I'm just following Congress's pattern there.
Yeah, I'm back here just banging the gavel. Yeah. We will have order. Yeah. We will have order.
The gentleman yields the floor.
Yeah, the gentleman has yielded exactly 1 second for his rant.
Right.
Okay, we will have order.
Yeah. Willie Scott says we should do a filibuster, and that's kind of what this show is every week. Hey, if you like to support this show, you can cruise on over to patreon.com/ritualmisery. All the shenanigans the Patreon was trying to pull are beyond us, behind us, and not going to happen.
It was fake news.
Yeah, it was so completely stupid. But whatever, it's all good now. So. We appreciate everyone who stuck through the non-changes with this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you like what we're doing and you want to help us out, show us that you give a fuck and give us a buck. Patreon.com/ritualmisery. We thank you very much.
Dude, there has been... I'm so glad you put this in here. You put battery throttling in the...
Yeah.
In
like,
the show notes.
What the fuck? Like, okay, so talking about fake news, right? Like most of the time, like, and not what certain politicians call fake news. I mean, legitimate fake news is a problem. It's been a problem for several years where, you know, conspiracy theories, just plain, just made up bullshit finds its way in the news, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on, you know, on accident or whatever. But it happens. And you kind of get this like mental filter of like, okay, that's probably bullshit. You don't pay attention to it. And then, well, this seems legit. Like, you know, I've read 14 articles on this. It's probably true. Battery throttling, like we're talking specifically about Apple, throttling batteries.
Older models, throttling older models of iPhones with newer updates.
Yeah. So, well, this is the point I was trying to make though. This is something that, this isn't new, like new to our like knowledge, I guess. Like right. People have been talking about this for a while, but it kind of hit my fake news filter of it just sounded like a conspiracy theory. Like, okay, oh no, big bad Apple is doing bad stuff. This one turns out to be true, man. This is Apple came clean with, what was it, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
About this?
Well, it broke on Mashable and kind of went crazy from there. And I think, I'm pretty sure it was Mashable. Now I'm second guessing myself.
Mashable sounds right. I don't think it was Mashable. It wasn't The Verge. No, who was it?
I love it when you...
Wired. Was it The Wire? Not The Wire. Wired. Wasn't it Wired? I think it was Wired. Anyway, it doesn't matter. One of the tech news sites broke this because of an Apple employee.
Mashable. It was Mashable.
Oh, it was Mashable.
It was Mashable.
Okay. Well, I guess
look at me with my references.
I guess it was on Wired that maybe they re-reported the same thing. Yeah, but the employee, was he an employee, current employee or an ex-employee? He was an engineer, right? That was working on this. This makes good audio here. Amos is finding the article right now. So anyway, so basically it kind of came out through an unofficial source, and then it was reported on, and then Apple was like, okay, we can't not talk about this. So they came out with a statement.
Well,
the
headline came out that Apple deliberately prevents chips on older iPhones from reaching their full processing power under certain conditions the company has confirmed. And that's exactly what it is. Apple says our goal is to deliver the best experience for customers, which includes overall performance and prolonging the life of their devices. Lithium-ion batteries become less capable of supplying peak current demands when in cold conditions, have a low battery charge, or as they age over time, which can result in the device unexpectedly shutting down to protect its electronic components. Oh man, I almost finished that one. Last year, we released a feature for iPhone 6, 6S, and SE to smooth out the instantaneous peaks only when needed to prevent the device from unexpectedly shutting down during these conditions. We've now extended that feature to iPhone 7 with iOS 11.2 and plan to add support for other products in the future. I love this because this is not an apology. This is all fact-based, and they're saying, yeah, we're doing it. It's what's right, and we're going to continue to do it with future models.
Yep.
And so I originally saw it from Pete Pichel, saying, would you rather have full iPhone performance with random shutdowns or slower performance but a more stable, longer-lasting battery? And it was, I mean, I thought it was a good question. 51% of the people that responded to it said full power come what may. 49 said stable battery, please. So it's evenly split. And this is one of those things. He had so many replies that like, I want full power all the time and I want great battery life. And a lot of people were like, both. And my response was very simple. And I think it sums it up perfectly as far as how I feel about it. This is really a testament to the common person's understanding of the current state of battery technology. Both isn't feasible, and it's not sinister or a design error. It's science. I doubt the evidence would say anything different on Android devices. What it comes down to is batteries degrade over time. Lithium-ion batteries charge faster than, say, NiCad. They hold more of a charge than NiCad. They withstand recharging more than NiCad ever did. But they're still batteries, and they still degrade. The process of using a battery, of charging a battery and discharging a battery and getting that electricity out of it, degrades the battery itself. Mm. The only thing that you could do to prevent this with our current technology at the current sizes that we're talking about are to have replaceable batteries, which most manufacturers of main line phones have gotten rid of.
Yeah. That's kind of the key thing. It's consumer replaceable batteries,
right,
that we're talking about, because you can absolutely get a new battery for your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thing that can happen. And if you're a technically capable person, more than just I change a light bulb once in a while. I mean, like actually like competent with small electronics, you can replace your battery, or you can go to an Apple store or what have you and get your battery replaced. If that's really what you want to do with your iPhone 5.
Right.
Or I guess six is when it starts, right? You know, if you're still rocking an iPhone 6 and you really like, this is like a make or break moment for you with the iPhone, like, okay, first of all, really?
Right.
And second, go fucking replace your battery.
So Krug in the chat room brings up a thing, and I'm glad he brought it up. My old iPhone 6S Plus and my wife's old iPhone 6S Plus were I don't say re-gifted because they weren't gifted to us. They were handed down as gifts to my mom and my oldest daughter this Christmas. They both received them today. I was helping my mom set hers up right before we started the show. Before I sent it to them, I went into the Apple store and said, hey, what's the status on this battery? At 80% capacity, if you're still under Apple Care, they will replace the battery for free. After your Apple Care runs out, you have to pay for the replacement, which is usually the cost of the battery, $59 or whatever, plus like $20 or $40 for the actual, labor.
Service.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about $100 to replace your battery. It's still cheaper than buying a new phone because the cheapest phone is still, $400 or whatever. And you get a brand new battery, and the performance and everything else is amazing. the batteries that we sent them are both just above the mark where Apple will replace them. So here in a few months, I'm going to have them go to the Apple store and get their battery replaced for free, because by then it will have degraded that little bit. That's after about a year and a half of very steady, everyday use, constant use, like using it to the battery was dead almost every day for 450, 500 days. Mm-hmm. That's about the life expectancy that I would have with today's batteries.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not even an issue. Like this, people that want all this battery technology in their phones and they want to be able to run it at full power for years on end clearly don't understand any of the science behind it.
I think the biggest issue here, and this is kind of the, I think this would have pretty much fixed most people's issue with this, is if they had announced this at the time that they included this in the iOS update, if that was in the release notes, if they would have explained it there, I don't think people would be as up in arms. Of course, I mean, people are going to be pissed about everything. Like, oh, you took away 1% of my CPU processing power. Like, come on. Like, you know, people are just going to be pissed just to fucking be pissed, especially if they're already like, what's the word? Like brand prejudice or whatever. Like, if you already just for whatever reason hate Apple, you're going to be like, see, I told you, fuck Apple. Look at them. They suck.
Yeah.
Well, at least they're doing something about it. What is Android or what is Samsung doing? Anything? I don't know. They're not acknowledging
probably
the
same thing.
Right. Yeah, probably. But I think all of this like really would have been fine if there was an actual announcement. What a year ago, year and a half ago, whenever they started this, if they would have said, hey, this is part of the new iOS update. This is what we're doing. This is why. This is just kind of, you know, this is what it is.
On that same token, though, where does that rabbit hole end? You know, where's the slippery slope? Because you start detailing, oh, here's exactly how we're handling, you know, because it probably said something along the lines of new battery management features or whatever. You start going into the nitpicky of exactly how they're doing all of that. You could get release notes that are, you know, pages and pages long for the most minor updates.
Sure, but that's why, like, when you update your iOS, like, do you actually read the release notes?
No, because it never says anything. You have to go into the developer site to actually read.
Well, notes. That's the thing. That's exactly what I was gonna say. So I read the front page release notes,
the truncated version that they give you.
Yeah, it explains like what new features are added, you know, bug fixes, security patches, what have you, right? But if you want the nitty gritty, you gotta dig. Mm-hmm. Well, they provide a link, but then you gotta sort through the, you know, pages and pages of release notes
of developer speak,
right? And I think that's, you know, if they put it there, you know, we've got Tom Merritt to break that down for us. We don't have to actually read it. You know what I mean?
They don't give the exact details like they did, you know, that they acknowledged here. They would just put something along the lines of advanced battery management allows throttling of CPU to compensate for battery conditions. And that would be all it would say. And nobody would see it until somebody did the research like this and, oh my God, you know?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. If they'd put it in there, and if it's a significant enough thing, you know, and I mentioned Tom Merritt, but like all of the tech sites, all of the tech shows, everybody would be talking about it and say like, well, you know, Apple said this, you know, da 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 da, and it's fine. Nobody had an issue with it because it actually makes sense. But it's this whole like out of no Apple admits to fucking with your shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was a necessary negative publicity, I think, just because of the way that they decided to handle it.
Welcome to the world. Everyone's fucking with your shit all the time. That's yeah. That's why it works, because they're fucking with it to make it better. So
yeah, exactly.
this is a non-issue to me, except for that it shows how many people don't understand.
Yeah, and this is the thing with so many of the issues that come up in, you know, in the, not just in the tech news spectrum, but just like pretty much the news always, it's only an issue to me because people have an issue with it. That's true with so many things. I mean, some things are legitimate news, and I you know, I have an issue with the thing, or I'm interested in the thing or whatever, and it's genuinely of interest to me. But I swear to God, probably over half of the news that I read, it's only an issue to me because people are making an issue of it.
Right. Meanwhile, the big stuff's happening in the world that we don't even care about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, man, is it about time for this right here?
So we just saw Star Wars, and I figured
this
if we're
going
to do a TED Talk.
This is one of your this is one of your little 5-minute dealies that you put in there at the last minute that is just completely perfect for.
I actually
for
found
the
this
event.
Yeah, I found this last night. I would have listened to a 15-minute TED Talk last night if there was one about Star Wars. The one that I found was 5 minutes and 20 seconds or something.
And we're talking about Todd Scott. First of all, he's got two first names. One of the things that I hate most in the world. He's Todd Scott, an intergalactic guide to using a defibrillator. And what he does is essentially, this is a PSA. This is a humorous how-to guide on using an AED, an automated external defibrillator. I think I got that right.
Yep.
And he adds humor to it and basically teaches you how to use it at the same time in a 5-minute video. This, as corny as it was, is pure genius. Love this.
Yep. Absolutely. So basically, he's teaching you how to use an AED if you lived in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
So he's talking about Wookiees and Ewoks and Yoda and all of this sort of stuff. And
he
what
didn't
you,
mention
what you
droids, though. I wish you would have mentioned how to use one on droids.
Well, I don't think it would work because of the whole arcing thing and, you know, just, it, I, you know. yeah, no, it's exactly what you said. It's a public service announcement. It's a very valuable teaching tool. 5 minutes is all it takes, and you will learn how to use an AED with this guy talking about Star Wars. So it's super entertaining.
He never actually shows an AED either. It's all like what marker?
It's all like child drawings. Like it really is. Like I've seen 5-year-olds draw better than this with crayons. In fact,
it's bad, but that just adds to the whole thing. It's awesome. It's a great little video. You should check this out.
It is so great. It's really good. I highly recommend this. There was only one negative about the thing, and it had nothing to do with the presentation itself. There was one dude in the audience that thought everything that this guy said
everything
was hilarious.
Like two lines into the TED Talk, he's in the back laughing so hard you can hear him over the dude and like.
Yes, and it's like every, because the dude says a joke probably, what, every third or fourth sentence, right? Like
right. Every new slide is something to laugh about.
Right, but every time he said something even moderately funny, you get this guy in the background that's,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, really, guy?
That's the guy that just came from the bar. This is right after lunch, and he decided to drink instead of eat. That's what that is. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. It was great. I watched this one with Steph and the whole time, like I just kept looking at her. And I'm like, this fucking guy. And she's like, oh my God, I'm getting a headache from this guy's laughter.
This reminds me, okay, if you're part of our audience and you know what Bob and Tom is, and you know, if there's a massive track of just them laughing, I don't need jokes. I don't need sound effects. I just want a track of them laughing. Because holy crap, I was listening to some Bob and Tom the other day. We went through the humorous Christmas songs, you know, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, which is like one of my all time favorites, mostly because I didn't really care for my grandma too much.
Put the Dick on the Snowman.
No, we didn't cover that one. but we went through, Dave and Doug McKenzie and The 10 things or the 12 things of Christmas that are really a pain to me, the 12 pains of Christmas, you know.
Oh yeah.
Straighten up the lights, you know, all that kind of, and we went through all that kind of stuff, and it started because I was listening to Bob and Tom on Apple Music, and that was just what randomly came on, and that got me thinking, man, back in the day, you and I just wanted a laugh track of Bob and Tom just laughing, like cut out everything else, just isolate their mics, maybe what's her name and what's his nuts? Yeah, Christy Chick McGee. Get them in there too, but just their laugh tracks. That's all we need, because that would be beautiful. If I could get like 30 seconds of just them laughing at something, And on that same note, Bob and Tom, where the hell is all your shit? Where is it? It's not on Apple Music. It's not on Spotify. I look for it in places. Back in 98 is the earliest album I can find, and that's the Monica Lewinsky one. And it's maybe the last album that they put out before the FCC came in and smacked their peepees and told them they can't talk about smacking peepees anymore. So it's like the last great album that they had, and they don't have anything previous to that anywhere that I can find.
Yeah, man, that's, you know, gosh, you might have to go to eBay for that. That's unfortunate, man. They've got some really great material.
I'll go to a bay, but it won't be eBay.
Well,
I mean, this is the thing that pisses me off about piracy and illegally acquiring shit. I am more than willing to pay for this stuff if I can find it in the format that I need. I don't own a tape player. I have Pat Benatar tapes, but I don't own a damn tape player.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't find a tape player.
Yeah, let alone the capability of transferring tape to digital to whatever format you need it to.
Right. Where are the high-quality digital audio files of early Bob and Tom? Tell me where it is. I will acquire it legally. Until then, it's just a matter of time.
Right.
Because I'm going to get it. Because I want to enjoy it. I want to pass it on to my kids. I want to share it with my family. It's going to happen. Show me where to do it legally, and by all means, it will be done that way. If not, it's your fault, not mine.
Yeah. Anybody listening out there, email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com, and let us know where to get a hold of Bob and Tom stuff legally.
And tell us
digital files.
Tell us what it is that you can't find that you wish you could find. What are the lost albums, the lost tracks that you can't find on Spotify, or Amazon Music or anything else that you just would die to have, but you just can't find it anywhere in a current format?
Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome. Anything in, well, MP3, really, right? Like that's everything. Still. MP3 is what, like 15 years old now, something like that.
Longer than that, 20 something years old. Because I was using it when I was at Shaw using it.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
so you're looking at least 20 years.
And that's still like the go-to compressed audio format.
The old Fraunhofer.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Man, so we've got something going on in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned earlier in the show, a week from today, where you're going to have the wonderful, the great, the one and only Richard Gunther back on the show. I think this sets a record for the number of appearances for a guest.
It might.
Six? Seven times?
Probably more than that.
Probably. Anyway.
But yeah, we're closing out the year with Richard Gunther this year. We're starting the new year with Tay Allen, because there's no other way to start a new year on Ritual Misery than with Tay Allen.
Yeah, and so it's basically a mirror of what we did last year. We ended with Richard, began with Tay, and then I think the
year before that, we started with Tay, and then we had Richard follow up, and he was pissed off at us. So now he's the tail end of the year, and she starts it off.
Yes. But between those two shows, so 1 week from today is Richard, 2 weeks from today is Tay. But between that is a pretty major event, man.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing, as a Diamond Club community, we will be doing the Diamond Club New Year's Eve Streamathon, where we will stream for 27 hours straight. Are you, Amos? Are you ready for this, Amos, to stream for 27 hours straight? Are you you got your coffee ready and your Mountain Dew and all that stuff?
I do have my coffee. I need some more Mountain Dew and plenty of Excedrin pills.
Yeah. Well, Never mind. How about we stream for an hour? Let some other people kind of take over for us, and then we'll come back on at the end of it and stream for another hour.
Yeah, we can do that.
Does that sound better?
That sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's how it's going to go. No, we're going to do a 27 hour straight stream. But Amos and I are only going to do, we're basically going to bookend the thing. The same thing we did last year. We're going to introduce, set it up, and then we're going to close it out at the end, kind of do a recap show. It was so much fun last year. It is going to be a total freaking blast this year. We've got a lot of great talent
We don't have as many people as we did last year, but we have them doing longer segments and a little bit more creative availability for them.
Yes, so absolutely. And this is gonna be so awesome, guys. What I need everyone to do, don't do it now because you're watching us on Twitch.
Right.
Audio listeners can do it now. But for the live audience, after our show ends, I need you guys to go over to twitch.tv/DCTV. Oh, I'm sorry, not DCTV. DC Streamathon. So twitch.tv/DC Streamathon. This is going to be the hub of all things New Year's Eve Streamathon.
The central channel.
Yes. So in the area, actually, Amos, you want to bring this up on screen, the page. So right now there's not much here, but in that black space below the video screen is going to contain the schedule, all of the pertinent info that the audience members need to know about the show. That is going to be populated probably this weekend. And if you just, you don't even have to know who, like what the channels are that are playing and kind of try to follow along. The schedule is going to be there, and there is going to be a method in place where we basically, it's kind of like auto switching. So it's going to be almost like last year with the way we did it over DCTV. This is going to be like the Twitch version of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to work great. I think it's going to be awesome. And man, I am so looking forward to this. I can't wait to watch this myself. I can't wait to be a part of it. And I can't wait for the audience to experience what we've got lined up. And also, the other thing I'm really looking forward to is raising money for Donate Life America. This is going to be so awesome. We set a goal this year for $2,500. I think we can do it, man. We almost got that much last year for the Extra Life charity that we did.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to surpass that. I really hope we hit our $2,500 goal. This is a charity that promotes and enables donations of organs, eyes, tissue. Organs, eyes, and tissue is what it is. And it's such a great charity. They rate very highly of the charities that, you know, they only take a little bit for admin costs, and the vast majority of your gift actually goes to the cause.
Right.
They're so great. It's going to be awesome. I'm so looking forward to this. It's going to be awesome, dude.
And for the record, we didn't have a problem with our charity last year. We didn't bail on them because, you know, Extra Life, whatever, it's a great place to go and things like that.
Absolutely.
But they cut off their donation period at like midnight Pacific, and we still had like a third of the marathon to go. So
yes, that's a good point. So this charity, the way that their donor pages are set up, it's fully customizable. So
hopefully they don't cut us off halfway through.
Yeah. So the way that I set it up, our campaign is going to run through noon Eastern, I think. Yeah. I think I've set all the times for Eastern. So noon on the 1st of January. So noon on New Year's Day is when our campaign officially ends. So, you know, and I could have set that at any time, but I wanted it to end, but after, you know, give people enough time, like a couple hours after the stream ends, so that if they, you know, they needed to go find their credit card or something like that, they can do that right, and not have to worry about it cutting off. But I wanted it to end pretty definitively on New Year's Day so that we can do our tallies and get those numbers out to people. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. And in fact, if people want to get a preview of the donation campaign, and even if you want to, you know, you're not going to be able to watch the streamathon, but you really want to contribute, it is open now so that you can donate now if you really want. Head over to YOLO420.com/donatelife. YOLO420.com/donatelife. And you can actually donate now if you want.
Look at that.
And there it is. Yep. So as you can see, the $2,500 goal is there. We have not accepted any donations yet, which is not surprising because this is the first time I've really advertised the address for it. But if you click on members there, Amos, there are already several teams already signed up as, like, you know, with their own donor pages so that they will create their own URLs to give to the people during their streams so that they'll get the credit for earning that money. And like I said last week, we might gamify it. You know, whoever the top donor is, the team lead or whatever, we might do a t-shirt or something like that.
Right.
I haven't decided, but we'll probably do something. I almost guarantee we'll gamify it in some way. but it's going to be great, man. I am so excited for this.
Yep. And this is something we are going to continue doing each year in one way or another. So, if you didn't get a chance to sign up this year and you want to do it next year, by all means, let us know.
Absolutely.
Each year we're going to start earlier and earlier on getting people signed up for it and getting things on track.
Yeah. In fact, if people are interested in streaming for this now, go ahead and contact us. Like I said before, podcast at ritualmisery.com do you remember? Oh, it's yellow420.com/2017streamathon. Yeah, if you go there, you can still sign up, and we can use you as a backup streamer in case something comes up. Like last year, Captain Fubar signed up for 2 streams. He did his first one, which was absolutely awesome. And then for his second one, about an hour before he was supposed to go live, I think, his power went out.
Yep.
And he was not able to stream. So we had to do some quick maneuvering and get somebody to do an extra stream. If you want to be a substitute, like backup streamer, we'll gladly accept that. And in fact, if you just want to be a part of the team and maybe do a stream before New Year's, like if you want to do one on, December 30th or something like that, and use our conduit for the Donate Life campaign, hit me up and, we can make that happen. The more money we raise for these folks, the better. So I definitely do not want to inhibit that.
Yep.
If you want to be a part of it.
And it's important to notice that we're going through a third party so that we are not handling any of the money ourselves. That's one of our goals when we did this last year was, yep, we don't want to be responsible, for people saying, yep, oh, well, we donated this, how do we know it's going to go or whatever else? This is all going directly to the charity itself. So
exactly. Yep. Yeah. And we kind of did something like that the first year where we were accepting donations and then basically on trust that we were going to send it to where we said we would send it to, which we absolutely did.
Actually, nobody trusted us. They all went directly to the thing.
Yeah. Well, which is great. But we did take some money and we were entrusted to send it. And that's, you know, we absolutely did. We fulfilled that obligation, but it was kind of this, that weird, like, this doesn't feel right.
you know?
So from now on, we will always 100% of the time go through third party.
Yep. It's just easier that way. It covers everybody's ass. Hey, where can people find more about you, man? If they just want to follow you and stuff.
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter. That's probably the best place. I am at @RM_DelNoche. Just whatever your favorite social media thing or whatever, just look for Del Noche. I'm probably on there in some variation. I'm Del Noche some places. I'm Del Noche 77 some places. Just look me up. Untapped is a great place. If you're a beer person, hit me up. I'm Del Noche there.
Right. And you can find me at Ethan Kane. You can follow the show at Ritual Misery. You can go on by ritualmisery.com, find out all the cool stuff we're involved with. So I'm doing a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast with Richard Gunther and with Jenny Josephson. And my timing has not allowed me to release it yet. But that is coming very soon. The teaser episode is done. It should be out. I'm going to hopefully get that out by next week. And we're all the way through the first season. So we're doing 2 at a time. It's an amazing thing. Jenny is hilarious. And Richard, having never seen it before, he is full of surprises. And I'm basically just the guy recording it all and putting it out. But those two individuals, they're amazing. And look for that. It's called Let's Talk About Thrones. And I'll make sure that I publish that before I publish this episode.
yes, our live audience got a sneakier peek.
Yep. And awesome. all that being said, cruise on by RichMisery.com and you'll see that and see so much more that we have going on. You can submit ideas on our subreddit. We haven't had anybody hop by our subreddit yet. Go by there and tell us what a great, fantastic, amazing time you were having when you were avoiding listening to this show. And that's going to be ritualmisery.reddit.com. We'd like to thank Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use his music. And I'm going to hit the little button that starts his music right now. And thank you for listening and or watching and or seeing us live. For Kent, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
It's the Diamond Club New Year's Eve Streamathon.
Thanks for the puck, fuck off!